Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Yes, we are. What's happening here in the palatially appointed studios of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust? I'm Brady Wright. My co-host is Shane Osborne,
hello,
the master of all things mechanical, and Steve, the producer, Johan, the most interviewed guy at the entire Cruisin' to Colby show. Well, the second most interviewed guy.
I think you were the first, were you not?
No, I was interviewing, but nobody wanted to talk to me at all. I don't know
if
that is.
They
ran. Yeah. Back to the blacktop is first. We check out the latest happenings in the automotive world. And as per usual, Steve has a huge plethora of stuff that he's literally made up on the spot.
I do have a cornucopia of
items
to check off. And first up is Fiat Chrysler automobile boss Sergio Marconi is expected to outline a new plan for electric and hybrid cars in a strategic presentation on Friday. Now, listen to this.
Okay.
Aiming to ensure the world's seventh largest car maker remains in the race in the absence of a merger. The 65-year-old will present FCA's strategy for 2022. In his final contribution to the company, he turned around and multiplied in value through the 14 years of his deal-making. After failing to secure a tie-up, he said was necessary to manage the cost of producing cleaner vehicles, Marconi needs to show the group he can churn out those profits as well as reduce emissions. So he's long refused to jump on the electrification bandwagon, and I wonder why, because we all know that it's still not a really huge moneymaker, and so he's now kind of being forced to, probably he's like, you know what, I got a few more years, whatever, if that's what you want. I don't think he wants to go down, though, in history. What I'm reading here between the lines is, he says, this is the most painful spending that I'm going to have to do. To do it.
And I dragged kicking and screaming into the electric car race.
Yes.
I guess.
But, you know, it says, you know, Tesla's success, although we've been finding that they are not too successful right now. And
they're doing okay. They're just not the price point.
And their brakes on their latest, the 3, is not very good.
So what's Chrysler going to do? I mean, they've got an electric car planned. Is that the deal or what?
Yeah, they're going to put a lot more emphasis into it and research and come up with some stuff. That's, you know,
well, they won't call it the Volt. We can be sure of that.
No.
It was the Zap.
The Chrysler Zap. There we go. The Chrysler Zap. And then info about Jaguar. as we all know, that Jaguar was part of Ford, and then they got kind of sold off to the Tata, which is the Indian company. Tata's.
No,
Tada. Tada. The Indian company that undergirds Jaguar and Land Rover.
It's easy for you to say.
I'm thinking a Land Rover anyway. And the numbers have grown since 2008.
Company. Yes. Okay.
Now, what's interesting is they did take it over in 2008, just as we had the hit of the Depression and everything started sinking. Their numbers in Jaguar actually went up. And then within about the last 5-6 years, the Land Rover size of things, their SUV, have really started picking up. But the Jaguar started growing. And I don't know if it was because they came in with better capital, they could better distribution.
Well, they started making a better car.
They really did.
Their cars were kind of stale for a while.
Yes, they were.
Nice and sleek.
They're nice and sleek, but they weren't anything really exciting for a while and not worth the money you spent on them.
No.
I mean, a 120 car should be pretty darn nice. And they were sort of yawners for a while. They're starting to come back, which is nice.
Well, and that's because of their new ownership. They were able to kickstart it. And then update about lawsuits. Another Fiat Chrysler executive pleaded guilty to criminal charges on the ongoing federal investigation of FCA leaders bribing key United Auto Worker officials to make it easier to gain cooperation on labor-related issues.
It just gets
Michael
better.
Brown, the third FCA official charged by the U.S. Department of Justice, pleaded guilty to misprison of felony because he admitted to providing misleading and incomplete information to the federal grand jury when he was asked about specific questions about conspiracy to violate the labor law. So, you know, here we go. I mean, he's 60 years old, former senior executive.
On one hand, FCA is coming on. We're going to make an electric car. On the other hand, everybody that works for us in the executive room is a criminal. How is... Is it just me, or does that seem like there's a conflict of, I don't know.
I think maybe what it is we live in an age where everybody and their neighbor has a cell phone, and they're all becoming their own photojournalists, motojournalists, and people who can't used to get by with this stuff aren't getting away with it anymore. And I think that's really I think this stuff's been going on forever. It's just there's a lot more whistleblowing these days.
Well, it's the old joke, you know. I'm so glad that I'm over 50 because all of the junk that I did when I was young and stupid isn't on the internet.
Right.
Exactly.
I got to get away with it because no one will ever know.
And now somebody just asked, they just go to WikiLeaks, open up, do a little thing, and next thing you know, there's an email. Oh, he's getting paid off.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. And then Acura launches all new SUV luxury line. And as we all know that Acura, way back when, it was Honda's luxury line, yes, just like Lexus is of Toyota.
Right.
But they haven't really done a lot in the, not a lot of big stuff in the marketplace. And they're coming out with a A-spec version of the RDX for 2019. It's going to be a deluxe. And I think what's going on here is we've talked about a lot of manufacturers going away from passenger cars, more into the SUVs.
Ford, for sure.
Ford, for sure. And with the popularity of Suburban and the Cadillac and now the Navigator and the Expeditions and all these, I think these guys are going, geez, we better get on it because even Mercedes and Land Rover and Lamborghini's got one.
Yeah, Acura's had one for quite a while.
Yes, they have.
Porsche.
Yeah, Porsche.
I mean, everybody, SUV is
and Acura has, but now they're going to bump it up. They're going to really
that's the profit center
bring it on. Yep. It is. So it's interesting with gas pricing being what it is, I guess everybody feels like it's not a big issue anymore.
I think the funniest thing about the SUV craze, if you will, is that probably 75%, maybe more, of the people who buy an SUV have no need of what that platform really is about.
No.
I'm not going to haul anything. I'm not going to go off-road. I'm a couple, no kids. You know, it's just, but you're going to get a giant all-wheel drive station wagon, essentially. Why?
In case it snows.
In case it snows. In case I need to haul 3 kegs of beer in case, I mean, stuff like that.
I got the Astro because I was looking at the different things, and I needed somebody I could put 8 people in, and the Astro does an awesome job. 8 adults can go in that thing.
Sure.
It has tons of storage, and it's an all-wheel drive.
Road
I can
trip.
Go anywhere,
road
an SUV
trip.
Can go.
Road trip.
Oh, well, that's why we did it, because we do a lot of road trips. And then my wife bought a little Mitsubishi Outlander Sport because that's her life now. She is on the road 5-6 days a week going to homes, and she's in reservation land, and she's in long 2 or 3 mile gravel areas, and she needs something to be able to be reliable in the snow and the sleet and the rain. So she feels perfectly fine now in the little SUV versus her Taurus prior to that.
Well, the other thing, too, is it doesn't really matter whether people have a need for it. I mean, I can play that game, but it really doesn't.
No.
If that's what sells,
she loves it.
The car makers are going to make them.
It is.
And they're going to add walnut-paneled dashboards and vibrating seats and air-conditioned trunks whatever else people want, they'll do it as long as they buy them.
Look at pictures of guys and gals driving cars back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. And a lot of there wasn't a lot of highways, and they were in the dirt ruts and everything, and they were just big rims, big wheels on those old rear-wheel drive, and they did just fine.
Big springs.
They did
drum
fine.
Drum brakes.
And everybody thought they had the best technology at the time, and they did.
Well, they did.
So I think it's just
considering
interesting.
Considering that the Suburban, which is probably the beginning of all of that whole category
of the SUVs.
Started in, was it 48?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it's not exactly a new
kind of
idea.
Kind of like a milk truck delivery thing, and then it kind of
the original Suburbans were basically what we used to call a panel truck. It's just a bigger one.
Well, the panel truck.
Yeah.
Paint truck.
There you go. Panel delivery now is the standard for most Suburban homeowners.
Well, and they used them used them for like ambulances and stuff like that.
That
kind of a thing. I love watching the old 40s and 50s TV shows and movies. You see these things driving around like, there's a panel truck. Joe's painting on it or something like that. Who would ever thought it would become a luxury item, though, that you're piling your kids and dogs in? And
it was just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
It's just called repackaging an old platform.
Pretty soon we're going to be driving ambulances, hearses.
Wait, well, there's a few of those.
Yeah, I already do.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, we're glad to have you with us. Today's trivia question is coming up. We had a winner for last week. Then I also have a talk with the president. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Thursday Night Garage Association. Just ahead on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade trunning 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwich is a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust with Brady, Steve, and Shane as usual. Time for the windshield view, and today we're going to talk a little bit about Cruisin' Colby, a local show here in the Northwest.
A
local big show, yes.
Yeah. There's really kind of four big car shows in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
There's the Rotorama, which is an indoor show, early spring.
Then you got the Greenwood.
Got the Greenwood, which is 800 cars plus.
Yeah.
You got Cruisin' to Colby, which is 600 plus. Yep. This year is about 700.
And our Man Across From Me show?
Well, yeah, there's always the
Edmunds.
I was going to say the Good Guys, which is pretty big, but it's also a sponsored show. So the other one is the Edmunds Classic, which is about 400 cars, season capper towards the end of the year. But yeah, the Cruisin' to Colby was this weekend, and it was actually a pretty good show.
It was.
Aside from the 700 cars that were there, and aside from the fact that Steve spent half of the afternoon manning the rotary booth while he was trying to give away a 55. Was it 55?
65.
65. What was
there
it?
There was a rotary. The Everett Rotary was, they had drawings for a 56 Chevy.
I saw the 56.
All pimped out.
Yeah, nice car.
Ours was a all-original 65 Mustang.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And somebody come by and goes, I think this is a 64 early because it doesn't have the hole in the back and where the taillight. And I was manning the booth for 4 hours. I was able to handle out a few flyers for our show. But prior to that, I was able to catch four little mini interviews and
chat
with the people and hand out a few flyers. But I read a great article here. It was just in the Atlantic. It was saying, for nearly a century, coming of age in America meant getting behind the wheel. A driver's license marked the transition from childhood independence to adult responsibility and freedom.
Right.
To many, it was far more important milestone than voting or even legal drinking.
That's
it was the beginning of a new world of cruising down Main Street with friends and a complete rivals.
That's right.
Well, they've said it's kind of tapered off in the last couple decades, and what used to be familiar with us growing up is not as popular today with teens. And they cited the following statistics. It says in 2014, America's 16-year-olds had driver's license was roughly 25%, and now in 1983 it was 46%. So when most people turn 16, they go out and get a license, and in 1983 there was 46% of 16-year-olds went out and got a license.
Right.
In 2014, it was only 25%. And they cited a number of things, And I'm thinking the main reason is the high cost of insurance. A lot more kids now live in townships or cities where they can use the metro, and the lack of funding.
It's also
cost of a car.
And the cost of the car. But here, if I may be so bold, I think this
You've
is what it is.
You've got a son, yes.
My son's 31, so it's a little different. But I think what it is, first off, most schools, most of the high schools are offering a driver's ed program. You don't take it until you're 16 and a half or 17. So a lot of kids aren't getting their license when they're 16. They're getting it later. Number two, most metropolitan areas have basically outlawed cruising.
They have.
You know,
I
they
was
don't
make
let
that
you
point.
Do it. And an awful lot of the places we used to go, the drive-ins, the, you know, the car parks, the other places where people used to hang out, now that's kind of discouraged. So the people that do cruise, it's a lot. I'm going to use a phrase, the tuner kids, you know, the guys with the imports that do that. They would rather street race than cruise. And they'll go someplace, but they're going to go someplace else out of town. It's just not the same sort of hobby. However, there's an awful lot of shows or show and shines or like this weekend, the Cruise and the Colby, where they do that on purpose. It's a parade on Sunday.
Right.
They had an actual managed cruise. It was a parade of cars up there, and it was really tremendous. But you're right. It's not a cultural thing the way it used to be.
No.
Now, at the show, I will say, in addition to the cruise, which was a lot of fun, a lot of those cars are just, you know, great to see. And some of them, of course, there's always the trailer and the garage cars where they don't come out really much. But fortunately, I think over the last 5 to 10 years, the idea of building a car you can drive is coming back.
Yes, it is.
It used to be that custom cars, hot rods, if you will, that was something that people did because they were looking for performance. But it was a car that their plan was to drive. And then there spent, you know, some years where building a hot rod, building a custom car, was a thing you did if you had money.
Yes.
And a lot of those cars, they're really nice. You know, the six-figure cars, they don't see an awful lot of the road.
No.
You know, because you just can't. I mean, I have a good friend. His name is Tom Wood, and he has a beautiful Lincoln. It doesn't get out much because it takes him 2 days to prep it to look good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he does take it out, but it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of chrome to polish.
Yeah, and the one segment of the hot rod hobby, if you will, that seems to be coming on stronger and stronger lately is the what they call rat rods. They're really kind of not. I mean, there's ratty looking cars that are made out of spare parts. And then there's cars that have that look, but they're really mechanically, engineering wise, pretty nice cars.
Yeah, supercars almost.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the old rambunctious build it out of what you can find, you know, hot rod guys have gone. And there was more of those up there this year than I've seen in a long time.
That's what I was going to segue into. I saw a lot of youth. I ran into a friend of our family's.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen him for years. And he's like, Steve, I was just walking back to the car. And I hey, how's it going, Chris? And he goes, oh, I love cars. And he can't afford one yet, but he wants one. He's 22.
Sure.
And I saw a lot of young people. And I interviewed one guy. He had a 78 Chevrolet something or other. But he put this big old SUV modified engine, and when you cranked it up, I mean, it was shake the house type stuff. And I'm like, there's a lot of young people. Yeah, the mini truck tuners were there, mini truck guys.
Right.
There was a lot of youth. I saw people with their families, little kids, teenagers, 20-year-olds, 20-pluses.
Sure.
I don't think the passion for cars has gone away. I think it's increased. The show was bigger this year than it was last year because
it gets a little
bigger
every
down,
year.
Yeah. Two streets down, two different
avenues. It covered eight square blocks.
I never get everything. I forget that there's...
Yeah, it was eight square blocks plus a little, you know, overload. And, you know, it's a great show.
And the nice thing is the city supports it.
Oh, sure.
But
sure.
Cruising, I remember it was about mid-80s. I was down at Alki one night with my buddy, and we were on our motorcycles, and we were coming back from a long trip, and we were cruising along Alki in the summer. Must have been about 9 o'clock. And there was a lot of congestion because a lot of cruising, and the cops were out like flies, and they were ticketing everybody they could. did. That was mid-80s, and that's when everything stopped. The cruise and Colby stopped because they clamped down, and we're going to ticket you. And you know what? That destroyed, quite frankly, the whole idea of out cruising, all the little restaurants, the little places they lost business, all because somebody got annoyed because kids were cruising and loitering. But that's,
I don't think it was so much the cruising, it was the street racing that did it.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I know someone here that does it at night, and there's
a lot of gang violence and stuff going on at that time.
Some of them,
was there? I don't remember that.
Different clubs against each other.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. I know where they tend to race.
I was a teenager in the 80s, so yeah.
Well, you were in California.
Yeah, even up here.
Teenager in the 80s. I was married to my second wife in the 80s.
Well, I wasn't, and I was like mid-20s by that time, but...
Yeah.
I do hear the guys, the tuner cars racing in the summer. Oh, about 2 a.m, I'll get woke up, and sure enough, there's a certain specific area in our neck of the woods that it's about 5 miles straight, and I'll tell you what, it echoes, and they are going for it. And I'm like,
it's the exception, that's the perfect, rather than the rule.
It's though. The yeah. perfect place, but yeah. I figured they probably got a car at one end and another, and they're on their cell phone saying it's clear, bam, and they go.
Could be.
And I'd do it.
the good news about the about especially the younger kids now, they figured out that if you got a car that's 30 years old or older, it qualifies for a collector plate.
Yes. Yep.
And then you don't have to buy tabs, insurance is a little cheaper, and
no more emissions. My son took his car and he's like, Dad, it didn't pass, we had to pay about, he needed to actually get something fixed, but the bottom line is
that
was $300 that he didn't plan to spend.
Yeah, there's ways to do it. And, speaking of cars that don't need to pass emissions test, Shane drove a car up to the show.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, it was quite the well. Shane and Elton really bought a couple of these things.
Yes,
and,
Friday afternoon we picked up 2 1950 Buick Roadmasters. Monday morning he said, get one running, we'll drive it to the show. So I got it running, we drove it up there, brakes went out, but we made it.
You did the Fred Flintstone type way.
Yeah. All right, stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag...
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week started out with a live display of Lowrider Arts. Now, we'll post the video on the web and the Facebook pages, but we're here talking with the president of Thursday Night Garage Association, Ed Jansen. So, hey, Ed.
Welcome, Ed.
It's good to have you on here.
Thank you.
Oh, I like it. He's got his mouth right up to the mic. That's absolutely very professional, Ed.
Now, I gotta make a point here. We introduced Ed as the president of the Thursday Night Garage Association, and I have to say, it's one of the coolest car clubs, if you want to call it that, that exists, because, as I understand it, being a member I do, everybody's the president.
Everybody.
And there are no rules. And there's no dues. It is the ultimate is the ultimate car club. But it is a men's only group, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. So tell us how you got it started. What was the original plan for the TNGA?
Well, actually, you were talking earlier about racing cars and so forth, and two of the guys were old race car guys. They had a little club going with Volkswagens and so forth, and they decided to set this up. And so they called a bunch of their buddies together, and they just started the Thursday Night Garage Association. There's no paperwork. There's nothing. It's just no rules, no dues, and everybody's the president.
Perfect.
And the reason that there was no ladies involved is because when they started about 25 years ago, they met in the garages, and there were no facilities for the ladies in the garages, so they just limited it to guys, you know, and then they didn't
facilities,
have
is that,
that
a nice way of saying restrooms?
That's it.
Yes,
no.
Of course.
Okay. They had the outhouse in the back or around the corner. I know what we're talking here.
Have you met my wife? She's not going to use an outhouse.
That's what I'm saying. There's no facilities. So how long? 25 years?
Yeah, it's been about 25 years the club's been going.
And how long have you been involved with it?
I've been in it about probably 18 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. How many members do you guys have?
There's 700 and some. I don't have the exact count.
Wow, that's quite a few.
And is it just all local, or is it all over the place?
It's pretty much just the local guys. We meet someplace every Thursday night in somebody's garage. It was originally in somebody's garage, but because the numbers have increased, so we have to look for larger places, and only the people with huge facilities can handle our group. So in the summer months, we'll get 100, maybe 120, 150 people at a meeting. But during the winter, we usually get about 35 to 50 people at a meeting, and we'll meet at a burger joint there.
Okay.
If you're up on Evergreen Way in South Everett, there's a Burgermaster up there where the meetings usually happen Thursday night. It starts about 4-ish, 3:30, 4 o'clock, which if you work, it's a little difficult to make sometimes, but it goes on until 6:30 or 7 o'clock or so. I've been up to a few of them, and it's just a really casual bunch of guys talking cars and occasionally, you know, burgers. People bring, you know, different rides. There's lots of stuff in the parking lot.
I was going to ask about the rides. Does it require you to own any kind of a specific vehicle?
No, you don't have to have a vehicle. It started out that it was kind of like one person helping another. You know, I'm building one, so, you know.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much all guys that had cars of one nature in one form or another. But now we get a lot of people that like to come to them because they like to. It's a car show wherever we go. You know,
sure.
Any garage you go to, any facility you go to, you know, restaurant or whatever. We went to Totem the other night, and there was like 70 cars there, you know, and it attracts a lot of people stopping just to look, and then they want to join because they want to know where you're going to be next Thursday.
Exactly.
And being there's no rules or no dues, there's nothing to prevent that.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say is since there's no rules, there's no dues or anything like that, I know occasionally you do an event, and if there is any kind of, you know, charge or something for the event, don't you turn whatever, if there's any money left over, you turn it over to some sort of charity or something I mean, there's no ongoing funding for the club, right?
There's no treasury at all, so we don't, and that's one of the reasons there's no disagreements in the club, because
right.
there's nothing to
right.
disagree
yeah.
about. You
yeah.
know, if you don't like it, stay home.
Yeah.
But normally we'll have Christmas parties. We'll have a Christmas party and we have a picnic. Those are two major events for the year. And whatever funds is left over, whoever the hosted the event chooses where he wants the money to go. And most of the time we send it like Children's Hospital or one of the food banks
yeah.
or something like that.
Now, is this, it sounds like you meet at restaurants or drive-ins. Do you sometimes meet up? I'm just thinking, I know some place that if the parking lot, well, not at 4:30, it's not going to be empty, but maybe later in the evening the parking lot might be empty. And would you hang out someplace for a couple hours where there is no food?
No, normally the host, the person that agrees to host the Thursday night, they put on a food for the people, you know, and
right.
anywhere from burgers and hot dogs or whatever, you know. And we've had steaks and spaghetti and just whatever it is, kind of their specialty. And then
right.
they'll put
this
on a dinner and everybody pays five
it.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Elton wants to put one on.
Okay.
So yeah.
Be catered by Rory's.
Oh, very good.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Now, and you got a summer picnic, a family picnic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a Christmas party. I guess that's kind of the two major events, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, there's the places where, well, actually only the picnic, we bring our wives to that.
Yeah.
The Christmas party is a men's only. And,
oh.
And that's all centered around the old, I don't know how you'd say this, where they swapped the presence between one
right.
another.
Right,
the white elephant gift.
Yeah,
exchange.
White elephant
yeah,
gift.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. I lost that yeah. one. But anyway, we have that, and that's a big, big thing for everybody, you know. And there's a little bit of alcohol consumed once
sure.
in a while, you know. But
I can't imagine that. No. Well, why would you do that?
I would think there might be some bottles of something as white elephant that now all of a sudden everybody's like, no, I want that one, and it starts getting passed around, and everybody's like bidding for the last, you know. That makes a lot of fun, especially when you get a couple ringer gifts in there that everybody wants.
Oh, yeah.
So I know there's a lot of, I don't want to say old timers, but a lot of guys have been doing this hobby for quite a number of years in the club. And, you know, I mean, some of them are builders, some of them are buyers, but they've also got some other, you know, car-related backstuff. You got some midget racers in there and some drag race guys, right?
Yeah. Warren Kendall that had Sandblasters, Inc. for years.
Yeah.
He was into midgets and that kind of thing, and he was... he's real big in the club, and like Russ Divers, who's he's a craftsman beyond, you know, on automotive stuff. He's him and the Divers are involved with the club
mm-hmm.
and the whole bit, which you know they built a Riddler car and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of talented people in there. But as we all do, we're all aging, you know. But we're all kind of hanging out together, and we understand one another, and it's just
yeah.
a lot of fun, you know.
Do you have a kind of a regular influx of some new folks? I mean, even if they're not necessarily young folks, or are there young people coming on board too?
We don't have any real young, like 20-year-olds or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I say we don't. My grandson and a couple other of the members, kids come. But the majority of our people come in around, oh, when they're starting to retire, getting close to retirement
mm-hmm.
in their 50s and the
right.
whole bit, you know. And that's where it starts, and it runs all the way up to where 80s and beyond, you know. So
you know, it's kind of, it sounds like I know a number of people. My father-in-law was one of those, but they retired, and all of a sudden they still get together. They get together for like coffee almost every morning. Go down for the Fred and Meyer, have the cup of coffee, a donut if you want, because they were used to getting up, going to work, and they love just going out, and they hang out for a couple hours, and they come home. And this is kind of like a Thursday night where guys are just coming together. They hang out. You don't have to make appointments. You just show up. And it's a nice camaraderie, it sounds like.
Oh, it's a great bunch of people. And pretty much all the guys in there, they say that, you know, this is the greatest club because there's no You don't have to do anything, but just show up.
No
and
stuff.
Be
yeah.
right. Be with people that understand you. You know,
no secret so. Handshakes, no regalia, no
well,
funny
I
hats.
Say that.
Anyway.
So there are other chapters of this club or just this local one?
No, we've got, there's a chapter in Arizona, in Bullhead City, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And that is started by one of the fellas that originally started the one up here.
Oh.
Did he retire down there?
Yeah. Retired down there, and now he's got all of his buddies. And then there's one going over in Wenatchee, and that's pretty much the fellow that was the other half of the two people.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
He retired over there probably.
Yeah, he's on the east side of the mountain, and he's got a group going over there. So, and then
Wenatchee's a big car place.
It is.
There's a pretty lively
group of people.
Custom
the whole valley in there. From Leavenworth all the way to Wenatchee, that whole area is quite a large.
Speaking about car things, you know, there's so many cars. Like last year, I went to the Swindler's Poker Run,
right?
And there was like almost 120 people in that thing, mm-hmm. and I probably hadn't seen 20 of those cars that they come out just for that.
Wow!
And you never see them down here, you know. So it's fun to go to some of the other areas, you know, like Chelan and so forth. You know, they have good show over there. A lot of cars you've never seen. That's the benefit of going to them. You know?
Now, well, we just went a couple of weeks ago to the Monsters and Manson show. Mm-hmm. One of my friends that I worked with for years and years retired over there, and they started, this is the third year that they've had that show. And again, I mean, it's dedicated to rat rods, but there's cars over there that never come to this side of the mountains, mm-hmm. and it is kind of fun to go to shows in other places for that exact reason.
You've been around cars for a long time, and when I was a kid, we had the muscle cars when we were in high school and just whatever cars we had, and it was cruising and all that. We talked about that. But I never remember any car shows. That I never went to a car show, didn't hear about any car show. I would have went if I heard about it. It was just a bunch of guys that we knew in town that had the fast cars. We'd be racing out in the country, whatever. But it was the cruising. So we had the cruising, and then I'm wondering if there was a huge blossoming of car shows when the cruising kind of was stifled. Did you see a rise of the car show after that point? Because I don't remember car shows until really I started attending in the 90s or late 80s or something like that. Now, that's me.
Mm-hmm. There were some beautiful cars and shows in the 80s, 70s.
They had the indoor ones. I knew about the big indoor ones, but I'm talking like the outside, like the Colby. I'm talking to you there, Ed.
Yeah.
Well, the outdoor shows became popular because you couldn't get your cars into the indoor shows.
Right.
You know, you had to be invited to those.
And yes.
And then they started these Friday night things where we'd all meet someplace, you know, and we used to go down, and I lived in Central California. We'd go down to Modesto and you know, street race and have fun and sit around in the parking lots. And then it just kind of turned into that. And then when they stopped us from cruising, you know, then people started finding places like burger joints and so forth to hang out and so forth, and that's what started it. Now the guys still go Friday nights, you know, all kinds of places around.
Right.
You can find 50 cars sitting in a parking lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the 60s and 70s here, and I'm talking about in Seattle.
Yeah, that's what
there were car shows. Clark Marshall used to put them on. There were several of those, and some of the other guys would promote. But again, they were indoor shows, and it wasn't so much invitational, but there was a fee, and you'd put your car in there or your motorcycle in there. A lot of times it was both. But all of the rest of the sort of show and shine stuff was at some burger joint or some
we had that
go to the beach.
We had the
informal,
burger joints,
informal
stuff.
Kinds of things.
But now to see the size of something like a Colby where you got 700-800 cars, that's just I mean, I've been going to these things and it's been popular for the last 20 years, but and like I said, I was a young kid growing up in Ferndale. We didn't come to Seattle for anything unless it was a concert.
Did they have cars in Ferndale when you were growing up?
Yeah, I've talked about it enough. You know that. We probably did more drag racing than was healthy because we had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah.
Well, I think that like Colby, Cruising Colby and some of those, it's like see and be seen, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you know, if you've done anything, especially around here, I mean, when we have a winter that lasts, you know, it's not good for driving for 5 months. People use that time to do something with their cars. They're going to add a little thing or change a thing or put in a new you know, something else. And then they want to show that off when the weather turns nice. And so that all of a sudden, you know, as soon as you get a decent, you know, a decent weekend, people are out there on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah. Driving the wheels off.
Well, Ed, we're getting about the end of our segment. Well, I just want to say thanks for coming in with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you bet. Thursday nights at the Burgermaster in South Everett is one place you can meet up with the guys at the Thursday Night Garage Association. We'll be there. And everybody's the president, so you can talk to anybody about the club.
There you go.
Well, you're listening to the best automotive information show in the known world, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. A great hot rod story you can share with your friends is coming up next. And our cool trivia question as well.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Den Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Got a new machine, gonna blow the scene. Cause trouble makes rumble like you never seen. My motor's clean, it spits gasoline. Burning rubber through places that I've never been.
My back's a hot rod stories. Brady, what kind of story you got for us this week?
This week is a classic, and I say that because a lot of the stories that we do are from the old Car Nut book, and David Dickinson, of course, is the compiler of that book, even though the stories come from all different kinds of folks. This particular story is one of David's, and it's called The Race That Never Happened. So I had just finished stuffing a 327 V8 into a 1955 Chevrolet two-door sedan body that my brother had turned me on to. The guy that had the car just didn't want it anymore, and I was able to pick it up for a pretty good price. This was in about 1974, so prices were still low for a piece like this. It wasn't perfect, but it had a decent burgundy paint job and a black interior that featured some pretty cool bucket seats. Even all the glass was good. All I had to do was install some running gear and new brakes. So I found a used engine at one of the local junkyards that is long gone now. It had good compression, a four-barrel carb, a little cleanup and some fresh gaskets. It was just like new, well, kind of. I was hoping it'd work well enough to have some fun. I went down to Napa, and I got a brand new clutch and a throw-out bearing to install with a flywheel and a bell housing I'd gotten from a neighbor, a serious old car buff. Jack had a Chevy that he had wrecked and parted out, and he'd already sold most of the parts off it, but still, he had the exact pieces I needed, and it couldn't have worked out any better. I said, here. He says, I never sold it for what I wanted for it, and now I guess I'll just have to give it away. I didn't expect it for free, but he wouldn't have any part of my money. If you can't give something you like to somebody you like, then you probably don't like anything, he quipped. I laughed at his weird joke and appreciation of the sentiment behind it. I'd given lots of car parts away over the years, too. I said, thanks, Jack. It'll be put to good use. I had a four-speed transmission that was lying in the garage from a car I'd had back in high school, and after a quick inspection, I determined that it was in as good a shape as I remembered. I'd taken it out of a 56 Chevy, and it still had the shifter linkage attached to it, so a little cleanup, shiny new shift ball, and I was in business. In the end, it shifted and held up just fine. It was another few bucks I was grateful I didn't have to spend. This project was turning out to be pretty inexpensive, and it was fitting into my limited budget pretty well. After a couple of days of wrench turning, more than a few beers, and some harsh language one weekend, the old Chevy came to life and rolled out of the garage just as I planned. I was anxious to get it out onto 6th Avenue for some fun. It wasn't all that pretty, and it wasn't going to be all that fast, but it was a V8 and a 4-speed. It was going to be fun. Cruising 6th Avenue in Tacoma, Washington wasn't the same in the mid-70s as it was in the late 60s, but there were still a few of the old guys out there, and my beater Chevy attracted some attention right away. It had an exhaust that made it sound way badder than it was, and I hadn't made it halfway up 6th Avenue before a guy in a rattier-looking car than mine pulled up beside me and started stabbing his gas pedal. I looked over and smiled, having no clue whether the old Chevy would scoot or drop. I didn't know what gears were in the rear end or how the carburetor was jetted. They were just two of the elements that would play a role in a later attempt to show off. I really had no intention of racing this jammed-together toy, but I'd gotten in more trouble more than once for not being able to control myself under the pressure of competition. Let's just say I wasn't chicken. So I stabbed the pedal a couple of times, too. I didn't have anything to lose except my driver's license, and I'd always been there when I was a teenager. There were too many lights for it to be a very long raceway anyway. My challenger, the guy in an old Studebaker Hawk, was anxious. He kept revving the motor in the old low slung of his pretty classic two-door coupe. Paint was non-existent. The black primer had spots of smeared grease on the fenders and the wheel wells. The guy was not into looks, clearly. I suspected he was a real-life backyard mechanic by the greasy knuckles and the hands firmly gripping the cracked and greasy steering wheel. His hair was greasy. His forehead had grease. He revved the motor a couple more times while straining his neck to see the light turn yellow for the traffic coming from his right. He was going to get the jump on me at all costs. I revved back. Vanity plates were not yet available, but if they had been, this guy's plate would probably have said something like greaseball. I was hoping to meet a girl or two dressed in my clean jeans and my best T-shirt. The Hawks guy's shirt looked as if it was woven from a mixture of cotton and, wait for it, grease.
Yeah.
Again, he revved his motor to demonstrate the deep throaty sound of the old glass packs as he rocked back and forth in his seat, anxious to get the best of him. I was sure I was going to jump the light early, so I revved back, and moments before the light change, I spotted the police car turn onto the avenue a block behind us and pull up behind the Studebaker. Studebaker guy revved his motor again. I was about to split a gut, ready to laugh aloud. I could see what was going to happen. He didn't see the light-adorned city issue Ford behind him. He had no rearview mirror. I revved back. As the light changed, the guy in the Studebaker stomped on the gas, slid his foot off the clutch, brake loose the tires, smoke building up in the wheel wells. He made his escape in the motion-inhibiting red light. As soon as he had gotten through the intersection and was about to forget one red light, another one came on behind him. I slowly released my clutch and gently pushed the gas pedal, departing from the green light as if I was 80 years old. Studebaker guy was just pulling over to the side of the road as I passed by. I turned my head, shrugging my shoulders at him as I rolled past his driver's window. He was nowhere near as excited as he'd been a moment ago. I thought I'd seen the last of him for a while, and yet a little while later, as I was telling an old high school buddy the tale of the race that never happened, I saw Studebaker guy drive past with the officer a few car lengths behind him. He turned into the bowling alley, and the police car continued down the street. I considered going over to the bowling alley and finding the guy with the intention of offering to buy him a beer, but in the end I thought better of it. I guess it was best to leave it be, satisfied with the fact that I came away from the whole thing without a ticket and only a story to tell.
That's funny. I take it David wasn't a teenager at this point. No.
Well, no. I think this was in 74. He was probably 22-ish, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
That's funny. That
apparently
is funny.
He was smarter than I was when I was a teenager because I would erase the guy.
Oh.
And as usual, these stories are all from the Old Carnut Book. Evancourt Press is where you can find them. You can also get them online at Amazon or theoldcarnutbook.com. There are three books in the series. We are praying that he will complete the fourth book. They do make a great gift. Let's see. What else is happening?
Do have more information.
Oh,
we,
you do?
We have more information,
information-packed guy.
Fiat Chrysler recall. 2014 to 2018, Fiat Chrysler is recalling 4.8 million sedans, utility vehicles, and pickups due to a problem that could prevent drivers from shutting off their cruise control, making it difficult, though not impossible, to stop the vehicle. The problem is the latest in a series of large recalls involving the third largest of the domestic auto manufacturers, FCA, recalling millions of vehicles over the last several years for issues as varied as transmission problems and fire hazards. So, guys, get that thing fixed. We don't want to see that happening.
So they're making more SUVs because they're recalling everything else because the cruise control won't go.
I hate to say it, but Polaris is doing the same thing. They keep getting recalls even though they've got all sorts of stuff. And
Is it just me? Am I just low-tech? If your cruise control gets stuck, why don't you just turn off the key?
Well, right.
I mean, that's the solution to that, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah.
In the neutral, take it out of gear.
Well, you put it in brake, you bring it down and turn off, yeah.
Well, I mean, if the throttle's stuck, essentially, I mean, cruise control won't come off.
Yeah, just
turn the key off. That's the solution. I mean, you lose the power steering at that point, but...
Steering wheel locks.
Steering wheel locks. And
we don't turn it off forever. You just turn it off long enough, the motor stops.
No brakes because the power steering's no longer working.
An emergency brake.
That's why they say it's a hazard. So if it doesn't work, it's a hazard.
People don't think of these things.
Yes.
So maybe just don't use your cruise control and you'll be
fine.
Well,
there's that. But see, how would you know that yours was broken until you used it?
Until it was broken, yeah.
Well, that's usually how any of these things happen. You don't know there's something wrong until something goes wrong, and then you're up the creek.
Well, you guys know what this weekend is?
What?
This weekend?
Yeah.
It's Hot Rod Church.
It is. It's Hot Rod Church.
We're going to talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Excellent.
Stay tuned for more Horsepower, Storm, and Rust after these measures.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance & Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel. We talk about events and rallies in the club scene, movies, cruise-ins, books. Well, we already talked about books.
Have we
and
seen any good movies lately at all with any cars?
No.
Well, there's cars in Infinity War, but it's not really the focus of the show, so I'm not going to talk about that.
No.
No, haven't seen a good car movie for a while. Quentin Tarantino is rumored to be making another Grindhouse, but until he does, we're not going to see anything there. Yeah.
No, so, 70s movies. They, no 70s movies. 70s was the sweet spot for Chase and great movies. There's no doubt
Vanishing
about it.
Vanishing Point is still my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry.
So one of the things that's coming up is Hot Rod Church, which we talked about just for a second before the break. It is June 1. No, June 2. What is it?
3.
3. Sunday. Is it 3? That's right. That's Sunday. Okay.
It's Sunday, 7 a.m. Yeah.
So E Company Customs up on Highway 99 and about 150th-ish. Hot Rod Church, 7 a.m. to 10?
Yeah, 7 a.m. to whenever it ends.
So if you got a car, or if you don't have a car, if you just want to see a bunch of guys with cars and talk about cars, go up to E-Company Customs.
Fill out coffee.
Donuts and coffee. And
donuts.
You're going to do a sheet metal demonstration?
Oh, are you? Good, good.
Take some tours of the shop.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Excellent.
It'll be fun. Good segment on alternative meeting of the TNGA, except it's the SMGA.
Yes, there you go.
It's cool.
Sunday morning.
Yeah, very nice. Well, we also had a trivia question last week, and we did, in fact, get a winner. The question was, what year did rear seatbelts become standard on most cars? We already knew that seatbelts were first offered in 1963. Rear seatbelts became standard on most cars in what year?
72?
No, sooner than that. It was only 2 years later, 65.
Oh, 65,
yeah. And Robert A. Waldo sent an email in, and he knew that it was 1965, and I said, why? And he said, because my folks bought a brand new Chevy Impala that year, and it had rear seatbelts.
There you go.
Well, he is going to have his name emblazoned over our picture of barn dust, and it's going to go up on the Facebook page. On Thursday.
That's right. Well, there is in fact already on the Facebook page a picture of the buckets of barn dust.
That's right, but it doesn't have a name.
This is the prize, Ed, for our trivia contest. If you win, you get your very own bucket of barn dust, barn find dust.
That's right.
You can sprinkle over any car and immediately quadruple the value. Ed seems unimpressed, as he should.
Yes. Well, Ed's a very relaxed kind of guy anyways. I can tell right now. He's not, you don't rattle his cage very often.
That's right. So next week's trivia question is even more exciting than rear seatbelts. It is, in fact, where is it? I just moved it. Yes. All right. So recently in Washington, especially around King County, the city council has been talking about tolling every road in the entire place. They want money just for us to drive, but they're not the first people to think of this. The first U.S. toll roads opened where? Well, in Pennsylvania and Connecticut, of course. But the question is, when? What was the year the first toll roads opened? If you know, you can get to us on Facebook at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust. And if you come up with the correct answer before next week, you too will win your very own custom-made, chrome-plated, monogrammed bucket of barn find.
That's
dust.
Right. So keep lookout on the Facebook page because you're going to see Robert Waldo is going to get his free bucket of find of barn dust.
I will put that out there when I go home tonight.
And make sure to like us on Facebook and iTunes. If you're iTunes, please let everybody know that you like the show.
And Spotify and Stitcher and
Stitcher
every
and
other
TuneIn
platform
and all the other places. Google Play.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep, the more you say it, the more people find out about it.
Also, what you will find when you go onto the Facebook page this particular week, and it'll be up there for a while, is the video from the Cruising to Colby that I put up.
I've got a bunch that I'm putting up here very shortly.
Excellent. A plethora of media. The music's our cue to hit the gas. Until next week, be sure to like and follow our Facebook page and our website, as Steve said. You can find all the shows in our archive at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the floor, your hands on the foot, and the other stuff in the back. Or something like that.
And we'll see you next week.
Slide on.